Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
The great Bob Woodson.
I believe that the opposite of segregation is not integration, it is desegregation. The civil rights movement incorrectly argued separate is inherently unequal. It should have been argued that it is strategically unequal. Because if you say something is inherently unequal, it means anything that is all black is all bad.
Sideline Sanity at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. We are back. Okay. There you go, folks. We were having a round table here in the studio. And so now we're going to go back with Dane Davis. And Dane, he's an economist, and he knows because I heard Joe Biden say the economy is great today. The GDP, did you see that? It grew by 2%?
Yeah, I did see that. After two consecutive quarters of declines, they said it improved. But as we all know, economic figures can and often are revised. So we'll see what the final number is. But right. According to Mr. Biden, everything is roses and flowers. One of the reasons why I'm here today and taking a step back, one of the reasons why I'm speaking this coming Tuesday is because I, as a guy that studied economics, did my master's in economics, worked on Wall Street for a British bank, Barclays Capital, and now here working in the banking sector, I don't believe all is well. I'm not a psychic. I'm an economist. I can use reason. I can use history. I can use theory to predict what comes next. But if you look at the data and you survey where we are today, I don't think it's groundbreaking to tell people the economy is not in a good state. But what is a little concerning and what is very scary is what's to come. And I believe if you look at the facts, if you look at the details, what's to come is not good. So I spoke about 2 or 3 months ago warning of this, and I'm going to speak again to kind of tell people where I think we're heading, given all that's been going on.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, remember when Obama was in office, he said that with higher taxes, the more taxes you paid made you the better American, a better patriot. Okay,
I remember that.
I'm wondering, you know, does the same thing work with higher gas prices? See, I'm not an economist, but I'm a consumer.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, I mean, how good of a patriot am I going to be? You know?
Well, you're going to be a very big super patriot because I think gas prices are going up. So maybe taking a step back, Pastor, if I may, what is going on with the economy, if I had to boil it down?
We're being reduced to third world status on purpose. This is all being done. It comes out of the World Economic Forum is where this stuff's coming from.
Agreed. And the economy is like a machine, right? Any sort of machine has lots of components. And what's amazing about the American economy, the global economy, really capitalism, is that there's no central planning. There's no one person at the top that's saying, do this, do that, right? It results from the spontaneous, voluntary activities of millions.
Supply and demand.
That's right. Millions of people engaging in trade. But over the past, under Biden, but really going back several decades now, there's been a coordinated and sustained assault on the American economy and really the American middle class. Because the American middle class is the wealthiest in the world. It has power. With money comes power. And we've seen the erosion, whether it started with the offshoring of jobs, the decline of manufacturing. Around 10 years ago, under Ben Bernanke and the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008, we started to see the money printing, right? The monetization of our debt. And now here we are in 2022. All these factors are sort of combining. And we are seeing sustained and steady inflation. And going back to that analogy of a machine, if you have a machine and you take acid and you pour acid in the machine, maybe not immediately, but that acid starts to work and it starts to break apart the gears, right? The mechanisms of the machines, and things start to break. And that's where we are today. We have a slowing economy. We have rising interest rates. We have shortages of key goods. We have diesel shortages now up and down the eastern seaboard. Mortgage rates are above 7%. The stock market has fallen off. Trillions of dollars of value has evaporated. Real wages for the past 24 months since Biden's been in office have declined. So the amount of money people are making has gone down. And I think what comes next is that the U.S. economy is bound to slow and we're going to go into a very deep recession because the American consumer is eventually going to cry uncle.
Do I hear depression? Let me ask you this, Dane. Look.
Yeah.
I'm hearing more and more people are telling me that they're having to choose now between groceries or paying their rent.
That's right.
Now, is the good news is that they have a choice? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Is that what NBC, ABC, CBS is trying to convince itself?
Yeah, and I think that we're going to go for a severe recession, and you can even use the word depression. What has happened or what's happening is if you look at the data, when we started to see energy prices, and this all goes back to energy prices, when we started to see natural gas, what people use to heat their homes, gasoline, what people use to get back and forth, diesel, oil, all these things, when those started to go up last year before the Ukrainian war, after the Biden administration got into power and really kneecapped the American energy sector, people started to run up what we call credit card debt or revolver debt. People said, I can't afford food. Food's going up. I can't afford gas. I'm going to put it on my credit card. That's the first domino, and that's where we are today. The next domino to fall, I believe, Pastor, is once that credit card debt reaches its limit, people will start to pull back spending. They're going to cut Netflix, right? They're going to cut the frivolous stuff, the vacations to Disneyland. And that will have a ripple effect on the economy and a feedback cycle. And I think next year, this time, we're going to be in a very severe state.
Dane,
yes,
I was in a grocery store.
Yes.
But I went to the grocery store because in that grocery store, they have cleaners. Okay.
Yeah.
And I bring my clothes to get clean. Now, when I went in there, there was a sign that said, go to register four if you want, you know, you want to get, because the lights were turned off.
Right.
And the reason for that was that with about, I think there was about six or eight registers, only half of them had people there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because people didn't want to work. They were making good money, but now why should they have to work if they get all of these government benefits without working? Then just today, lady told me, She went into Walmart. She was telling me that she had to check herself out. She was proud of her, that she did all of her shopping, checked herself out because there was not one single person on a cash register.
Yes. Yeah.
And you people, when I was in Cincinnati, we stopped at a restaurant, and there was a sign closed because of lack of help. There was only one place we could find to eat where they were open, and because they couldn't find people to work. Now, what is, you know, the idea there is that people, is this, again, delusion, okay, that you can go without working, okay, and that somebody is always going to pick up your bills and pay your way?
It's craziness. Pastor, I'm going to turn back to the New Testament. There's a scripture, and you'll probably know the exact verse, that comes from the Bible, not from the Republican Party or the Libertarian or anything. It comes from the Bible, and it says simply this, he who shall not work shall not eat bread, right?
Right.
And this is crucial. Work brings dignity. Work brings self-work. Work is noble. God intends for us to work. Now, that can take many different forms. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you get a job 9 to 5, right? My wife, she's raising 3 kids. She stays at home with the children. We're very blessed in that regard. But trust me, she works, right? She's not collecting a W-2.
Oh,
she's
God,
a harder worker than I am, right?
Yeah, I can tell you. I'm a grandpa, yes, and, you know, I was a father, and raising kids is not an easy. I'd rather do my work than being home with the kids all day.
Yes, but work is noble, and what we've seen is a war on work, a war on the things that make us human, make us, you know, gives us dignity. We have seen a war on work by the devaluing of the wage, right? The money people think, well, my wage is going up, I'm making more money. But what that dollar buys is less and less every day. And the economic statistics, if you believe them, I think that there's reason to doubt them, but let's go by their numbers, show that people are earning less and less. We've seen, if you look at the number, not unemployment, but labor force participation, it looks at all the people that are working. That number's dropped.
Dan, you don't understand equity.
Yeah, I know.
This is your problem there.
Right.
Okay. Look, don't you understand, under capital or communism, Marxism, socialism, everybody is equally. Now, they may be much poorer, okay?
Right.
But they're all equally poor, except for, you'll have two classes.
Yes.
And here's the good news, right? 87,000 IRS agents are out there to totally dissolve, to undo the middle class, to get rid of the middle class, to go after all small mom-and-pop businesses, and then going after the church. That's exactly what they're there for.
That's absolutely right. Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and one of my political heroes, in one of her last debates in the House of Commons, she said that the left, the Labour Party, would rather the poor, poorer, right, just as long as everybody was equal. Equal in shared misery.
Equal in poverty, impoverished.
Yeah. That's right. And going back to Marxism and capitalism, God has created each one of us, and he gives us unique talents, right, and unique abilities. Some of those talents and abilities, we're able to earn more money than others, and that means we care for the disadvantaged, we care for the poor, we care for the weak. But those who can do great things and those who can make money, they should. They shouldn't be hampered from that. But under a Marxist system, it's really a perversion of Christianity. And if you read Marx and you really study it, you will find everything that's in the Bible and everything in Christianity just flipped.
Absolutely. And
a satanic inverse of it. Let me give you an example. In Christianity, right, there's the elect, those God chooses to save, and there's the fallen. In Marx's philosophy, the elect is the proletariat, the workers, and the fallen, the evil, the bad guys, are the bourgeoisie, right?
Bourgeoisie, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're seeing in our economic system is it's really a moral and it's a spiritual struggle being played out. Let me look at the money, right? Money is important because it assigns a value. This cup of coffee or the microphone, you can exchange it with each other using money, right? But when that value is devalued, when it loses all meaning, you're essentially de-anchoring society and you're creating chaos and you're destroying societal trust. And with the printing of the currency that we've seen, that's exactly what's happened.
Exactly. Remember, Obama said that what we're going to transfer the wealth from those that earned it to those that deserve it.
Right.
In other words, see, I was always brought up to think that you earned it, you deserved it. If you earned it, you worked for it. They're exactly the opposite. Now, also, remember the proletariat. They were told that since, and remember what Obama says, if you have a company or if you own, you didn't build that, somebody else did that.
That's right.
Well, after he said that, I saw signs going up at a lot of these companies there saying, we built this, okay? But the whole idea, again, is that all of your work was for naught, okay? And he said, the Marx made it very clear that to the proletariat that it was morally ethical to kill the bourgeoisie and take what they have because they wouldn't have it if it hadn't been for the worker.
Before I came on the air, I was reading a book about the Romanov dynasty in Russia. These were the Russian czars. And before Nicholas II was brutally murdered, there was a century of terrorism and of robberies. Stalin himself was a train robber. They stole. So crime was never a problem in the Marxist philosophy. Because crime was seen as a restoration of justice. They thought that those who had property, those who had money, were the evil ones, and to steal from them was a good thing. And here's the other big thing. As your listeners are listening out here, socialism, communism, it might seem appealing on first glance, right? It's like the apple in the Garden of Eden. Well, everybody gets, we're all happy, we're all equal, we're all sharing in the blessings of our mutual labor. The problem is it's a false promise, right? It's a total lie. And what comes and what falls with it is misery and destruction and chaos and impoverishment.
If you read in that book there, Myron, Marx, today lying to us, okay, is repulsive. It's wrong. Under Marxism, communism, lying is not an elective. It's required. He tells you to say this, say that, always accuse your opposition of doing what you're doing. Go ahead.
You made a very good point.
Thank you.
Because if you look at each human being, we have the mineral world in us, which is hierarchical. We have the vegetable world, which is hierarchical. You have a blade of grass and a sequoia tree. You have the animal world in us. You have the ant and you have a giraffe. So Marx hates nature. He wants to destroy nature. And in destroying nature, he destroys human beings. So he's totally destructive. And lying is, if it promotes a social revolution, lying is good. There is no morality. There is no nature. There is no science. See, this is the thing that people don't realize. There is no science in Marxism. They have no conception of cause
it's
and effect.
It's anti-science. Everything, right?
Yes,
the Apostle Paul.
Anti-science.
The Apostle Paul referred
to
it.
Quiet, let him go.
1 Timothy chapter 6, he tells you that that is vain babblings, which is science falsely so called. But go ahead, and Dane.
Oh, well, just taking a step back. So where we are today in the U.S., it's a very precarious moment. And again, what we've seen happen over the last 2 years, right? We've seen our money, the value of it decline. The one thing that is holding up that looks strong, but I think that's a mirage, is unemployment. Right now, people, if you want a job, you can get a job. There, to your point earlier, there are not enough workers. That is eventually going to change because the what we call discretionary spending, that's spending that you choose. It's things like going on a vacation, buying some new clothes, maybe buying a car. Discretionary spending to date has held up. But what I believe is going to happen is that as energy prices continue to rise, as food prices continue to rise, people are going to pull back discretionary spending. And that's when the next shoe to drop really hits.
Yeah.
If you think it's bad now, the point I'm trying to make is what's coming down the pipe next year after the midterms is going to be even worse. And can I take a step back and talk about energy? Because this is really crucial. What we saw happen in this economy is that Joe Biden is releasing and draining our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR. And those three words are something that everybody is listening. You should immediately go, if you can, get on a computer and look it up. What is the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? Down in the South, in Louisiana, Mississippi, right on the Gulf Coast, there are old abandoned salt mines. And in the 1970s, after the oil crisis, which was far before I was born, they decided we would never be hostage to Middle Eastern oil. We would create this reserve. And they filled it up with oil, billions or millions and millions of gallons of crude oil. What Biden did is in the winter of this year in March, when energy prices skyrocketed, it wasn't just due to Ukraine. They were going up prior to the Ukrainian war. Because we weren't producing domestic energy.
You mean
energy.
It wasn't Putin?
No, it wasn't just Putin. Is how
wait
till
Joe finds out.
Yeah, and what they've been doing is they have been draining this reserve to keep gas prices down low. Right now, I think it's $3.69 here in Northeast Ohio. But that is artificial, and what's going to happen is when you drain a bathtub, you're not producing more water. You're just taking the water there, and you're letting it go down the pipe. That's what they're doing with our reserve. They cannot keep doing that. They are not producing the oil to replenish it. And I believe after the midterm elections, probably in December or January, and write this down. If I'm wrong, you know, ban me from ever making another forecast. But I really do believe energy prices are going to head back up because once that reserve is depleted, they're not making more oil. They're not letting us drill more oil where it exists. And the energy prices are going to move up in the beginning of next year. And that's really
going to hit
us.
$7 a gallon. But let me ask you this.
Yes.
I mean, even if it hits $7 a gallon, shouldn't we be happy that they're paying more for gas in Europe than we are, even if we hit $7 a gallon? That's what Biden's trying to tell us. See, that even if we're paying $7 a gallon, we can't afford food. They've got it worse in Europe, so we should be happy.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've had the chance. I studied over in Europe. I did my master's at a place called the London School of Economics. And I don't think people in the United States realize that our standard of living is unparalleled, that even wealthy countries.
It was.
It was. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Germany, France, the UK, their standard of living doesn't even come anywhere close to us. And that is what we're heading into. Again, going back to what I said, the American middle class was and still is a massive force of power and wealth that they cannot control. And they see that and they want to destroy it. They want to break it down because it's a massive force of resistance. So if you drain wealth, that is a core component of power. You're draining power. And that's what we're seeing.
Let me ask you a couple of things.
One, yes, sir.
Yesterday, I went into – we stock up a lot of food in our church.
It's okay, very wise to do
for
so.
For people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but this is – we've always done this. But I went into – and we go to a lot of the salvage stores where you can get really good buys on food. And so – and other things, you know, cleaning materials. And we went to a salvage store that we normally go to, but we had to leave there because there was no parking places. Every parking space was filled. They were filled, okay? And people were not just shopping. They were filling their carts to overflowing. So we had to go to another place. Now, so people are starting to find out. Now, in America, we have an underground economy that's stronger than most nations' economies. It's going to get bad, but we're going to be better off than most of the rest of the world, okay?
Agreed.
And when that happens, you know, here's a reality. This is reality, and I've been telling people this. The Biden crime cartel is thick as thieves with the Mexican drug cartels and the human smugglers. Biden's job is to keep the gates open, to keep them coming in, all of these people coming in, okay? The idea where they get enough of them in, you know, where they're going to vote socialist or communist, okay? He's bringing in sleeper cells. We got sleeper cells all over this country right now. Now, here, he keeps the printing presses rolling. You may have noticed that the dollar keeps getting worth less and less and less.
That's right.
Now, this brings me to gold and silver. Now, people, it's just not natural that the price of gold and silver isn't skyrocketing, unless it's being artificially kept low until all of the people out there that have had a supply of gold and silver, you know, as their savings, until they get to the point where they have to sell it, have to put it out, have to sell it for the going price just to buy groceries, okay? And then the big boys, then Warren Buffett, then George Soros, then the price of gold and silver is going to skyrocket, okay?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What we're seeing happening now is the U.S. dollar is being devalued. You're absolutely right. But this is crucial. Other currencies against the U.S. dollar, whether it's the Japanese yen, whether it's the euro, they are all devaluing faster than the dollar. So what's happened is that countries overseas, they view the dollar, the Japanese or the Chinese or that, will view the dollar as gold, essentially, right? Because they know no matter what might happen, you can use the dollar, you can buy goods. It's a anchor of value. So what's been happening is that internationally, all this capital has been moving into the United States. So think of it as boats, right? Yes, the U.S. dollar is sinking, but everyone else's boat is sinking faster than ours. That explains why the gold price hasn't skyrocketed yet and the silver price is because for the moment where people are moving their money is into the U.S. dollar. But I believe, and I think you make a good point, that eventually they're going to realize, hey, this inflation that they said was transitory isn't proving to be very transitory. I remember last year they said, oh, it's just temporary, when it was 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. Now we're at 8%, and it's not going down. And eventually they're going to realize maybe that this safe house that is the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar, maybe it's not as safe as we presume. And then in that case, it's goods like gold and silver, but it's not just gold and silver. It's commodities, which are raw materials. It's going to be oil. It's going to be gas. It's going to be wheat, soybean, all these various commodities. I think they'll do very well once people realize, like, hey, I don't want your funny money. I don't want your monopoly money. I want something real. I want a bar of gold. I want a bushel of wheat or an ear of corn.
Barter system.
Yeah, whatever it may be, right? That is, I think, if you see the inflation continue, the commodity prices are going to really rally and people are going to be pouring money into it just as an inflation hedge.
Well, I mean, look, when we were talking about here, Joe here was talking about what's wrong with these people. Look,
yeah,
that's where you get into the delusions. To think, like in Europe, where they stopped this green movement, where they stopped planting crops because the price of fertilizer went so high. The three largest fertilizer plants there are shut down.
That's right.
Okay. Here, we can't, the railroads aren't hauling a lot of it. The barges, the rivers have drying up. Now,
that's right.
You see, now here's something that I understand that a lot of people don't. See, God will talk to you. God is telling you something. He is saying, do you see what I'm doing here? Do you understand what's going on? But the people in this country, they just still don't get it yet, okay? They still don't get it. When California is on fire all the time, when you have droughts and other places are flooded out, they still don't get it, okay? And so, but he tells you, when my people will call upon my name, repent. And that happens. Do you remember when 9/11 took place?
Yes.
There was two great big clouds of dust in the air. One of them was in New York City. The other was across the country because people started pulling their Bibles off the shelves and knocking the dust off them because they were afraid.
Yeah.
They were afraid. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't think we're going to see recession. We're in a recession. I think we're going to see depression.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And there's two points I want to make. One is back in 08, they hadn't started the printing presses up yet. So when the banks froze up and liquidity froze up, what they could do as a way to get things moving was they started printing money, right? And it gave the false illusion, the delusion, if I may, that things were fine and that things were working again. But now they backed themselves in the corner. If demand falls off, if the economy weakens, they can't turn the printing presses back on because we're at 8%, right? And number two, something more fundamental is, look, I'm an economist. I like this stuff. I like history. It's my passion. But the reality is the economy can tell you the price of things. It can't tell you the value of things. And I think America and our abundance and our prosperity, it's a blessing. But in some way, it's not a good thing because we've lost sight of really what really matters. You know, if you look at family formation, the rates of marriage have crashed. People aren't marrying anymore. If you look at the birth rate, people aren't having children anymore. What are we living lives for? We don't live to produce goods. We don't live to contribute to GDP, right? Those are all secondary. Our real purpose is to live and to be human beings and to worship and to love God and bring glory to Him. And I do think that the good news, the bright news, is that with economic crisis, I think it kind of refocuses people's attention to, hey, what really matters? It's the time you spend with your wife, with your children, with your family. That's what has value, right? You can't put a price on that in an economic system.
Absolutely. You know what I'm going to do? We're coming up to a break. And then when we come back from the break, I'm going to open the phone lines and take some calls because people are calling. You guys on the phone, stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
Potentate, he made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us His ways.
Give Him all your love, give Him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, He took my place because of love.
Can't see Him with your eyes, touch Him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up. He won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Called love. and I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All right, we're back, and we're going to take calls, and I look over here. One of my heroes of the faith, attorney Robert Lynch, known as Consolere. Consolere, are you there?
I am here, and what a great show. This is a point in time in history we have to mark in your calendar, because you're having not just one, but two wonderful Catholic men on your show at the same time.
They're Catholic?
Did that happen?
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you better check their ID.
Oh, okay. ID. All right.
So, that's number one. Number two, listen, there's a target on your back. You know, you're pro-life, you're a homeschooler.
I know.
Be at your door. Be sure and hand the phone to them, to the FBI, and have them talk to your lawyer, okay? I'm prepared any day now, okay?
I want to tell the folks, after all the years, you and I, you've been my lawyer for, what, 40 years? And you never lost a case.
I'm not that old. I can't be that old.
Well, we won't go there.
I started when I was 19, you know. When I was a you... But anyway, listen, I want to also point out that Myron gave the best summation of the proofs of the existence of God from Thomas Aquinas I ever heard. So, Myron, I want to congratulate you. This is great. And lastly, here's the important
thank you.
Point.
Well, you can go out to Geauga County Tea Party, where your sister used to be for a while, the president out there. Go out there and hear him speaking on Tuesday. These fellas, Dane and Myron, are going to be speaking out there.
Terrific. Now, here's the other thing about Joe Miller. Joe, you and I did the activist role when we went into church parking lots with pro-life voter guides. And maybe you could explain, after I hang up, you could explain what that involves. And this weekend and next weekend, Pastor, you need to have your listeners download the pro-life voter guides from both the Cleveland Right to Life or the Ohio Right to Life. And they have it all laid out there. It's in one sheet. You can download it and put it in the parking lots this weekend and next weekend, because people don't know. In fact, I would throw this test out to you guys when it comes to the Supreme Court justices. Do you know off the top of your head without thinking the three pro-life justices you need to vote for?
Kennedy,
DeWine,
and come on. That's very important, what you're saying. Those are the very three. Pardon?
More important even than the Senate race.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of Senate race, guess what? I'm going to have Christine Rogner here with me next week, Tuesday. And she's going to be on. We got to get her elected. She's a.
You got two out of three. The last one is Fisher.
Fisher. That's what I was trying to think of. Fisher, yep.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick, easy way to remember it. You got two Pats and you have a Sharon. You have two Pat. You have Pat DeWine, Pat Fisher, and then you have Sharon Kennedy.
Yep.
That's kind of and real quick, Bob. What Bob is talking about is pro-life material going on cars in some of the Catholic parking lots, and he does this every election.
But not just Catholic.
What?
No, we did that to all the churches. And I was on the board of Ohio Right to Life for 21 years, and I've been in the Right to Life movement for 50 years, and we dropped a lot of them. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Both the Catholic churches and the Protestant churches started giving us, all the World and National Council of Churches refused to let us on.
Can I give you one little thing from Aristotle? Okay, if you rape a woman in her room, if you rape a woman in the garage, if you rape a woman on the street, if you rape a woman in the attic, she still is raped. Place is insignificant, and it is accidental. What they have done successfully is to say that this is a religious issue. Okay, Aristotle said this. Color is superficial, and place is superficial. If I kill the baby outside of the womb, well, that's infanticide. But if I kill the baby in the womb, that's fine. What they've done is reverse the law of nature. That's what these Marxists do. They hate nature because God created nature.
No, Myron, they want to be able to kill the baby after it's born.
But the vast majority of American people who believe in abortion have fallen for the big lie that place is substantial, and it isn't. If I kill you in the bathtub, if I kill you on the street, if I kill you in the garage, if I kill you in your place of work, you're still dead. All right. So substance has nothing to do with place.
But no, take it to a higher level. Look, what does this say about an entire political movement that has as their standard their ability to murder innocent children? Okay. What does this say about it? Okay. Hey, Bob, if you want to hang on there, we're going to take some other calls, but you can just stay in here with us. Let's go to Ed in Cleveland.
Okay.
Hey, Ed, you're in the air.
I charge $300 an hour for this service. Huh. I have to send you a bill for this service.
All righty. Well, you can stay right there. He never lost a case for me in all those years. Go ahead, Eddie, you're in the air.
Brief comment and commentary. The brother of Jesus Christ, James, I think he said something to the effect of, woe unto them that hold back the labors of my people. I think that refers to some form of taxation, and we didn't have a direct form of taxation in this country until 1913, implemented by the globalists, by whatever form you choose to recognize them as. And basically, what's going on now in one capacity or another, taxation is basically being used pretty much as a form of enslavement, and I think the church has been pretty quiet on that. What is your take?
So you don't believe that paying more taxes makes you a better citizen, right?
I don't really think that makes anything better.
You know, my mind went to a couple of places. This is Dane speaking. Remember when President Trump tried to impose those tariffs? Everybody had a meltdown. They said, it's going to cause inflation. The price of goods are going to come up. And guess what? That didn't happen until Joe Biden got in there. You make a good point. Prior to the income tax, the country was largely run based on tariffs. That is a tax on buying foreign goods. That's how the federal government ran itself. If you accept, I'm not an anarchist. I'm a constitutionalist. There's a difference. I do think we need some form of government. If we have that government, it has to fund itself. But the best way to fund it, in my opinion, is through a system of tariffs or sales taxes, taxes on consumption. What I think is particularly destructive about the income tax is it demonizes and it discourages labor, work, by taxing it. If you want less of something, just tax it and you'll get less of it, right? And if you agree, as I believe, that work is something noble, it's good, and we should enjoy it. We don't want to overwork. We want balance, but it's a good thing. The income tax is really destructive because it says if you exchange your time for some work, the government's going to just take some of that from you. I think that's horrible. And that's why that when this country was founded, there was not an income tax. It's a particularly, you know, no tax is good, but some taxes are worse than others. And I think the income tax and taxes like it are particularly destructive.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on. Thanks, Ed. We're going to go out there. Let's go to GB Lightning. Let's go to GB Lightning. GB, you're in the air.
Hey, two questions or one comment.
GB, can you speak more right into the phone very loud because I can barely hear you?
Okay. I may be mistaken, but Tucker Carlson seemed to convey tonight that there were 25 days left.
Yeah, you're right. 25 days left of
diesel bill.
Yep.
And the other question for your guest is, what is there a political answer other than having to wait for Joe Biden to be removed from office or lose the election or something like that? Is there another political solution?
When it comes to the economy, I think the political solution is not an obvious one. Sure, vote for Republicans, and maybe they'll save us. They probably won't. They'll let us down like they have been. But I think the most radical solution, the most political solution, is really not a political solution at all, and that is to build up your family, to build up your community, to build up your church, your neighbors. I think we've lost something of call it localism, in this country, where we used to know people just down the road. I'm very blessed. I get to see my in-laws are only 45 minutes away and my parents are 45 minutes away. And we get to take our kids and they get to see their grandparents. Building up those relationships and being a good person and being a good citizen is the most radical act in this topsy-turvy society. And I think ultimately, if we're going to reform it, the economy is downstream from the spiritual and moral state of the people. Let me say that again. The economy is downstream. It's secondary to the spiritual and moral state of the people. If we have a moral people, if we have a righteous people, the economy will sort itself out. We won't be worrying about inflation or GDP or unemployment. But once we lose all those things and we have drugs and births out of wedlock and divorce, that's when the economy really starts to degrade. So maybe that's not the answer expected.
But here's the answer. The Bible says that the law was made for the wicked, not the righteous, okay? And the Lord Jesus summed it up in these two words, repent or perish, okay? And that word repent doesn't mean simply I say I'm sorry. It's a military term that means about face. So in other words, he's telling you to turn around, repent, and take our country back morally, like you said. Get your kids out of the public school system. The parents now are getting involved. Parents are now finding out again. And you know, GB Lightning, you've been listening to me for years. For 50 years, I've been telling people, please get your kid out of the public school system. Get them out of there now. And now they're waking up and they're doing it. But
all right, you bet.
I got to move on. God bless, my friend. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I'll just ask a couple of questions on the economy. One is, we seen that these sanctions on Russia, are they boomeranging back to us in a negative way? And then if you look at, we left close to $100 billion in taxpayer-funded military equipment in Afghanistan. We just sent $60 billion worth of equipment.
$85 billion.
Yeah, okay.
And people keep saying that Biden gave it to him. No, Biden didn't give it to him. The Biden crime cartel does nothing for nothing. They've got all kinds of ways for kickbacks to be funneled back right to the Biden crime cartel for leaving all that equipment there. Try an offshore bank somewhere. Well, ask Hunter.
So how about our infrastructure, our roads, our buildings? These buildings need to be watch-maintained, bridges watch-maintained. What's the state of affairs with our infrastructure to where, you know, someone might drive a car and get their axle destroyed by a pothole now or et cetera, et cetera? So that would be one.
It's called the work ethic. You got to get back to the work ethic. People don't want to work anymore. They want something for nothing. But, Cliff, I got to move on because we are running out of time. We got time today. One more call from Sean from Colorado. A quick call. Sean, you're in the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you're doing. God bless you. I'm praying for you guys. Tell a lot of people about you. Right. Infrastructure. You know, I worked for a security company. Last few months, we've been okay. But prior to that, I was working like almost 6-7 days because this one's calling out and I'm calling out. Nobody wants to work anymore. Our infrastructure, yeah. Hello. Put God first. Put Him first in everything we do. Let Him guide us on how we can put money to where they're supposed to be, build our roads and so on, teach our kids. That rat guy that you're playing their clip on, sick people out there. Yeah, we got to pray for them, but, you know, we need to stop this. You know, we're not animals. God created us in His image.
Amen. You're absolutely right,
God bless,
Sean.
Guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
You hit the ball out of the park. Okay. I want to remind you that my guests are going to be speaking at the Jug County Tea Party Tuesday night at 6:30, and that's at the Metzenbaum Center in on Cedar Road, just west of Route 306 at 6:30 in Chesterland, Ohio, on Cedar Road at the Metzenbaum Center. And I will be there, too. Lord's willing, I'll be there. Okay, so I'll introduce them. And, let's see. I might have some fun with that. No, only kidding. Let's see. Okay, Attorney Robert Lynch, do you have any closing comments before we go to...
Yeah, Pastor, I was just going to emphasize the point I made before about Joe and the activity at the church parking lot. I don't care if it's a Catholic church, Lutheran church, the Jewish synagogue. When you go there with a packet full of these pro-life voter guides, you can do it after the church service starts, and you never get in trouble. I think one time, Joe, you and I had a little problem, but that was very unusual. Usually have no problem, and this can tip it. Now, remember the heartbeat bill. Remember Jen Folder sweat and worked all those years to get the heartbeat bill. That's now on hold because of some activist judge in Dayton. The Supreme Court of Ohio is eventually going to rule on this probably next spring. If we have Democrats in there, we're going to be back to Roe v. Wade. We'll be like California and New York. We'll have no heartbeat bill in Ohio. That's why those three justices
are very important. Yeah.
And we'll give the names. Name the names. This is important.
Okay, Fisher, DeWine, and Kennedy.
There you go. Okay. Oh. I'll put you on Jeopardy next week. Thing is, that's what people have to remember for this voting season more than anything else.
The most important thing is they've got to vote, right? Our side, there's no more time to say, well, you know, I don't want to vote because they'll just steal my vote. If you don't go vote, you've got no reason and no right to complain.
Amen.
But if you vote and they steal it, then you've got every right to go after them, okay? And that's what you're supposed to do. From Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience. And, Bob, we're out of time, my good friend, but it's good to hear from you again.
Great show, even with the Catholics. It was still great.
All right. Okay. Well, it's been a long time since you got me out of trouble. You ready to go again?
I'm ready for that call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready for that call.
All righty. God bless. Let's go to Pastor. How many minutes do we have? You've got 4 minutes, Pastor Hall. Hal, tell us how we can avoid hell and get to heaven.
Okay. You know, with Biden and his Communist Party doing something every single day to try and destroy this country, that's not the worst that can happen to you. The worst that can happen is that if you die tonight and you went to hell. And, you know, there's a lot of people that think their religion will get them to heaven. But the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means you could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. You could be the best Catholic, Protestant, Jewish person, or whatever that ever lived, and one sin would keep you out of heaven. But the Bible says that when Jesus sat on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. That's why he went to the cross. God said sin had to be paid for. There's no getting around it. He's a God of righteousness. He hates sin. He can't let sin come into heaven. And the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It didn't say through your good works, through your church membership, or through somebody giving you some absolution or something like that. Our salvation don't come through any man. Whether it's the Pope or Billy Graham or or anybody else. It comes through Jesus Christ. He's the only one. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We're all creations of God, but to go to heaven, you have to become a son of God. And that happens the very moment you open up your heart to Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart as your Savior. It's a free gift. Jesus did all the work. And now whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment he paid in your place. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your good works, again, your good works cannot get you to heaven. If you quit sinning right now and never sinned again in the rest of your life, you still go to hell, but because one sin would keep you out of heaven if you didn't turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Repentance means admitting something to God he knows already anyway. Without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. And if you want Jesus to come into your heart and give to you that salvation, pray this prayer with me right now, because he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear God, you know I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I here and now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul, believing you died on that cross and shed your blood for me. Now, if you prayed that prayer just now and you meant it, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Not think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know, because God cannot lie. And so if you sincerely, in simple childlike faith, just ask Jesus into your heart, he came into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you right now, he washed away your sins, and he's given you eternal life. Now God wants you to grow in Christ. Grow means read the Bible daily, that's God talking to you. Pray daily, that's you talking to God. Ask God daily to cleanse you from any sin that comes between you and him. Ask walking in fellowship with him. And just go out and tell others how to be saved too. And remember, it's not your church membership. It's not some church leaders that get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ. It's not Mary, Peter, or Paul. It's not your best friend. It's Jesus. Jesus and him only. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, so didn't he say you must be born again?
He sure did.
Okay, was he stuttering when he said that?
Nope.
All righty, so does he know what he's talking about?
Sure does. He should. He should.
Well, absolutely, folks. And out there, listen, all the people out there listening tonight, all around this world, a whole lot of people are going to run out of tomorrows. They're going to die, right? Because it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. And folks, and especially, I know a lot of you younger people out there think, I'll live forever. And I remember I had this fella tell me, as I was preaching on the street, these rapper boys came and said, hey, preach, right now I'm going to party hardy, but when I get old like you, then I'll get religion, okay? I told him, I said, son, I didn't get this old by being stupid, okay? And what you're saying, you may never, ever get as old as I am. And guess what's happening every day in Chicago? Boys like that are ended up dead at room temperature, aren't they? Folks out there, listen, God does not guarantee you another minute. You can't reclaim a minute 5 minutes ago. And so if you are unsaved right now, hell and I are just the messengers. The message is coming from the Lord. Don't say no. Well, until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, come on, let's do it, fellas. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Border Battle. The new new six-part documentary series puts you on the front line of America's southern border and rise of the deadly drug fentanyl.
The overdose death crisis in this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs.
Fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. 3 grains of fentanyl would kill you.
Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and our southern border is a drug cartel war zone.
Now they have sophisticated weapons, tanks. They're dropping explosives on their competitors right by the border. We've never seen this before in the history of the country.
Border Battle shows a border crisis like never before, with exclusive footage exposing the consequences of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and decades of government neglect.
This will get worse before it gets better.
Watch Border Battle from Turning Point USA. Download this shocking six-part series now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.